This is Culture Communication and Brand Moments with Shelby Joe Long, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Culture Communication and Brand Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Shelby Joe Long.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Genius Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited to be on this podcast to help tell the stories of people that have created a business out of their genius and are sharing that gift with the world. And every conversation, we discover and learn more things about people and business and what is the thing to do. And I am thrilled today with the guest, Catherine Bell, because we've gotten to know each other over the past couple months. Have many things in common and the vision that we want to achieve in the world. And I am just thrilled to stand alongside her as she does all of her amazing and incredible things. So Catherine, welcome to the interview today.
Thank you. I love it. I feel like I'm just me and I play and it's all crazy and I get to amazing people. So yeah, to hear it's, yeah, I guess we're doing some amazing things together.
We are doing some amazing things together. Why don't you give our audience a kind of an overview? There's a lot you have going on, but tell our audience about yourself and what you do.
So I'm actually an immigrant from born and raised Canadian, and grew up in and out of more homes than you can count, and ended up getting myself adopted when I was 16, and saved my life. There's a whole series of events for all that. Met my husband and we got married in 2001. He's American. And, we took his dream and we turned it into a multi-million dollar company. So I was 26 when I came to the country. By the time I was 30, we were millionaires. So I freaking love this country, right? Passionate, yeah. Capitalism, like socialism, not so much. Capitalism, absolutely. So doing that.
I love that phrase too, the compassionate capitalism. I think that's capitalism. Yeah, do whatever you want, produce whatever you want, make your empire.
Yeah.
The compassionate piece, I think, is important too. So,
well, and that's an important piece. You know, it's like money is like oxygen. The more you have, the easier it is to breathe. And the more you have, the easier you can breathe, the bigger the difference in the world you can make. And I believe that everybody inherently wants to make that difference, you know, and there's that piece of like, what brings human beings the greatest level of fulfillment and joy? It's being a contribution, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, if you can add commas to your bank account, you must. You must add as many commas to your bank account as you can. You have a responsibility and do it unapologetically, because the reality is that's your genius. And now you can take that and you can go and you can support other nonprofits. You can support other causes that call to you to make that impact in the world. We need you to do that. That's the beauty of compassionate capitalism, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So I know this is kind of the first part of your story, but like, you and your husband built your multi-million dollar business. That didn't just happen. What would you say were some things that were some important things? Because many of our listeners, they want to do that. They want to live the American dream. They want to be multimillionaires, you know? So talk about what were some of the important lessons you learned in that process?
So, I think, you know, a part of having the childhood that I had, I grew up to be extremely resourceful out of necessity and survival, right? Like, I was raising my brothers and, you know, went to 13 different schools, didn't learn to read till I was in the eighth grade. I still struggle with reading today. My whole team will tell you, like, I have to auditory. I've got it. Reading, it's a struggle for me, you know, but I got straight A's because I learned very quickly. They didn't want you to think. They just wanted you to get the right answer. And as long as I could listen and figure out the right answer, I got to win. Right. And I always say that to my kids, like, you don't have to like the laws. You don't have to like the rules, but figure out what they are, play by them and win. And that's all I did. Like, The laws in this country, the tax laws, are literally built for entrepreneurs and investors. They're not built for employees. So that's clue number one, right? Success leaves clues. You know, the average millionaire has seven streams of passive income. So I was like, what's passive income and how do I do it? Right?
Yeah.
And thanks to like all these books, all this reading, like there is more than enough resources out there to have you figure out all the different ways to create passive streams of income. And then what do you do with it? And you have, again, I'm not the smartest person on my team. I just have the smartest people that help me figure out the tax code and figure out what are the things we can do to help, you know, pay the legal amount of taxes I need to, and then go make an impact with the, you know, what else I didn't have to pay taxes with. And so, a couple of things is that to understand, I read a lot, you know, I read a lot of biographies and how-tos of how to create whatever it was. And then I got coaches and mentors who were very good and masterful in those particular areas. I didn't ask, like, I don't know, my cousin or whoever for advice on something that they didn't have any freaking experience in. I went to the experts in with that sliver of experience, and I became really good at that thing. And that's ultimately how we ended up building our company. And it was a ton of work. And we just learned, right? And we leaned in, we worked an obscene amount of hours, but we loved what we were doing. So it didn't feel like work. It was just fun. And we kept growing and figuring out how to scale. And as at each level that we got to, we had to get, you know, different coaches and different mentors to get to the next level, to get to the next level. And that's what we did. It was like one foot in front of the other. It wasn't like poof overnight. No, it took years of work, years of building it, like thousands of hours. But we stayed on course. We knew what we wanted. And we also pivoted. That was the other piece, right? Because there's the like, okay, so we have this piece, and is this maximizing our time, our energy, our profits, and understanding? Like, you need to know and you need to master reading a balance sheet. You need to master reading a profit
Absolutely.
loss statement. You need to understand and master your KPIs, your key performance indicators, which I'm just going to put a little plug. We got a software for that.
Yes, you do.
You know, it's like you have to understand. I always say, and this is one of the things I learned during that time, is do the numbers, and the numbers tell you what to do, right? And then the other piece is, if it's your genius, it's your job. If it's not your genius, it's not your job. So, Christopher and I, you know, we got really clear. My genius was like all the paperwork and all the systems and structures and marketing and everything inside, like the joke was like the threshold, the door threshold. That was my genius. Anything outside that threshold, that was his genius. And we never crossed like lines. We allowed each other to like thrive inside of those worlds, right? And we honored and respected those pieces to it so that, you know, we weren't like bumping heads. And we lived inside of our geniuses and just respected that. That was a big, big piece to us managing teams, so people weren't being like double managed, things like that. So that was a big piece of us growing that particular business.
Oh gosh, I think there's so many important lessons in there, just that I resonate with. I think are so important. The first one is like it doesn't happen overnight. Like you got to put the work in, and there's ways to do it. You can adapt your own ways from those lessons, you know, because it's a different industry and different product that you're doing and what have you. But I think that's something that many entrepreneurs are like, this is my $1 million idea. Well, it takes a while to get to your $1 million idea. You have a lot of foundation to have before you get there. I think that's an important lesson. The other thing, gosh, I just love the discussion of the roles and how important it is, and that being in your genius zone and understanding what that is, and then putting boundaries around that. And
Right.
that's that, you know, and I think in the past couple of months, we've kind of discovered that too. It's like you have this amazing idea for this group that you want to put together, but you know that's not your genius zone. And so that's why we're collaborating, and that's why we're putting these things together. But it's I think it's really challenging as entrepreneurs to be able to draw those lines, because you know it's just you, and then you get scared to let other people in, and you have you and your husband having that boundary and deciding, let's exist here, we can be all of it here, you know, but if we cross over, it makes a difference. So I think, well, those are a couple important lessons from that.
Huge lessons. Like, so here's, so a couple of things. It's like, as entrepreneurs, I feel like a lot of people who have never built a company before have a lot of opinions about how we should be or how it should be. It, like, the whole shooting on ourselves and others needs to stop. That is not productive. No. And inside of that, understanding, like, hold on, you don't need to be the expert at everything. So knock that off. Like, have enough humility to understand, and you know who you are. And here's what I mean. There's three different types of entrepreneurs, right? And every company needs all three, right? The first type is like the skilled producer, somebody who's really good at the thing, right? Yep. Depending on how many departments you have, like whatever that thing is. But that type of entrepreneur tends to relate to their business as them and them as their business. Their business is their baby. They could never imagine selling it. Like, it is their baby. But they also tend to be Chicken Little types, meaning the sky is falling, the sky is falling, everything's wrong. So, and that serves a purpose. So that's one. The next one is number two, which is somebody who loves to lead and manage people. Oh my gosh, they can't get enough of it. They love to coach them. They love to nurture them. They love all that juicy stuff. And we need them in our company too. So that's the second type. The third type of entrepreneur is the type of entrepreneur that's the 50,000 foot. They've got the view. They've got the vision. They can see it. But them putting all the pieces together, that's not them. And they love to build companies and get to the point where they exit out the other side. They're very like unicorns, rainbows, butterflies. They see all the possibilities. Now, we need all three in our business, and here's why. Now, the rainbows and butterflies and all the things, those type of entrepreneurs, oh my gosh, me, we see opportunity everywhere. Everything is an opportunity, which is dangerous, because then we don't stay focused, hyper-focused on and building out one thing before we move on to the next thing. So
I am that way too.
Right? So which is why I need the skilled producer or Chicken Little, because Chicken Little comes in and literally points out all the flaws and pokes holes in all these plans. So rather than me getting upset at that person and saying, they're just negative. No, I need them, because they're pointing out all things I can't see. It's like my blind spot. So now I go, okay, thank you. And now I go to work to plug all those holes and figure out how we're going to mitigate all those risks, right? I suck at leading, managing people. So that leader, manager, I get to go to them and go, look, this needs to be handled. I'm not a baker. I don't sugarcoat stuff. I should not be managing and leading people. And my whole team knows that, right? Yeah. Like, if you're going to be led by me and you're like, I don't know, sensitive, your feelings are probably going to get hurt, but not because I mean to. It's just not my genius.
Not.
So like, if that doesn't work, go to the person who can lead and manage them and have them lead and manage them. I got things to do. So having all three of those is a critical piece inside of your business. So as entrepreneurs, we need to get really honest with ourselves, really honest, and say, listen, this is my personality. You know, these are my flaws. This is what works. This is what doesn't work. Like, I'm really clear. I struggle with reading. So anybody sends me like pretty much an email that's more than like two or three sentences, it's going to take me a while to get through it.
Note to self, send you audio messages.
Yes.
All the time.
And people do that. They'll send me a text message with like a video or audio. Video is like the best because I get to see it and hear it. And I can take all that in. I know that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's just like, this is who I am. Now, could I go take some speed reading courses and some blah, blah, blah? Like, yeah, I could. But at the end of the day, is it the highest and best use of my time? Or we teach people how to treat us. I'm like, look, you want to work with me? Here's the best way to work with me. Tell me how to work with you. What is your love language? How do I acknowledge you? Like, whatever that is. Just so we have, in our company, we've got like manuals for each person. Here's how you work with them. Here's their flaws. Here's their good parts, bad parts. Here's how we work. And rather than having to have everybody be these perfect robotic human beings, because it just, it's not realistic. So understanding that, that was a big, big piece for, you know, me and my development, us and our development, and growing out all the companies. And today, I mean, how many times do I come to you and go, this isn't my genius, you know, marketing. Marketing for me, how many times have I said to you, Shelby, oh my God, this is like brain damage.
And we're like, it's okay. We'll take care of it. It's all right.
Right?
You're in a good space.
Give me a deal, you know, like let me go get the capital and raise the capital to bring the money in and bring all the pieces in and bring, like, I can find all the talent. We're going to bring it all together. Now I have somebody on my team to manage all of that. Thank
yep.
God. But I can see people's geniuses and go, okay, you know what? We need this. We need this. We need this. Bring them all to the table and let the team work it out. I don't have to be the one to work it out.
Nope.
Right. So
same.
I know what my genius is. And when I stopped beating myself up over not being perfect in all those areas, that's when I was freed up. Now there's some people out there still shooting on me. Like, I should go and become better in these areas, but I'm like, whatever. Again, that's your opinion. Yeah.
I think that, well, and there's many reasons that we get along so well, but I think that's so important because you're a visionary. I feel like I'm in the same space. I'm a visionary. I see all of the opportunities. I kind of see these things and try to pull them together. And I see where we're going to be in 5, 10 years. And I think it's just incredible. And so the detail things are a little bit harder for me to do. I recognize that about myself. But it was challenging to get to that point. And I think as a visionary that you are, a super important lesson in just that discussion is that we need to be in touch with ourselves. And we need to understand the core understanding of how our worldview and how we process information, which is why we resonate. That's what I wrote about. I think it's a key part to business, and really being in touch with that is a clear understanding of your brand, how you operate, how others can operate with you. I think it's, for lack of a better word, it's genius, because now you know how you operate. You know what you're not super skilled at, and you don't have to be super skilled at everything to be successful. That's a very important lesson, I think, for visionaries to hear, because you don't have to do it all. You need to just surround yourself with people that can help you fill in those gaps.
And here's the bigger thing, is like not feeling guilty that I'm not good at all those things. And rather than seeing it as a deficit inside of me, here's what it is. It is a gift to somebody else. So mm-hmm. what I mean by that is my deficits now allow somebody else with that genius to step in and have them thrive. And what a gift it is for them that they get to fill in that piece, right? So when we stop seeing it as a deficit and we start seeing it as a gift to somebody else, oh my goodness, look at the magic that could be created, right?
Which we're just starting to witness. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. It's a gift to you because it's not on your plate, but then it's also a gift to the other people around you. And it is magical.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And then when you do, you know, as you know, everybody on this podcast know, I remember the strategic advisor board, there's 10 of us on that board. And it's pretty amazing the synergy that has been created between, you know, all 10 of us, or there's a few of us in there, you know, Jason, who's on there, we had immediate synergy. He is a visionary like yourself, and our personalities just kind of matched. And I think that's something too, is that you've got to be very comfortable and confident with who you are to be able to be around those other people that can help fill those gaps.
Right.
Yeah.
That's that whole, like, stop shitting on yourself.
All right.
You know, like
that's the name of your book.
Stop shitting on yourself.
I want you to talk to the audience about, so we haven't talked about your Titan group.
Right.
Let's talk about your background and your kind of history with the numbers and why you're so passionate about investing. And where did that love come from and that gift of yours come from?
So, it came out of necessity. So what happened was, so when Christopher and I were married, we discovered we couldn't have kids. And we ended up adopting our children out of the foster care system. It's a program called Fost Adopt. It's children that are the parental rights have been severed, so they're now on a different track to be adopted. We found out the other day it costs less than $2,500. Yes, $2,500 to adopt a child. Like, people are spending tens of thousands. We adopted twins, a boy and a girl. It's exactly what I wanted. I was so happy to be a stay-at-home mom. I mean, I was still working in the business stuff, but everything was revolved around my kids. I was so happy and poured everything into them. And when they were in about kindergarten, first grade, Christopher got really sick and couldn't work. So it forced me, at that point, we had already sold our company. The crash had happened in 2008, 9, 10. So we were having to pivot and figure out, what we're going to do. So I had to go back to work and I was not happy about that at all. But, needed to pay the bills. So I went back to work, was working for somebody else, building their dream, building their company. It paid the bills. So, I was grateful for that. I was working 80 hours a week and coming home and taking care of my very sick husband and my twins. And I was exhausted.
I'm sure
And so
so
I was like,
much.
there's got to be a better way. And so I knew that the average millionaire had seven streams of passive income. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. Being a woman, being resourceful, I just had to figure it out. So that's what we're good at as women. And so that's what I did. And I started learning about passive streams of income and how to become. And so here's a big piece of what I learned. So this book wasn't there, but somehow intuitively, as women, we know this. I didn't need to know how, I just need to know who know how to get where I wanted to go. And so that's what I started looking for and started partnering with in different real estate investment deals, different affiliate programs, just lots of different things. And so I went on and I did some buy and holds, and then ended up running a program here in Arizona called the Flipping Females because I love to collaborate. So I partnered with
Yeah,
women and
I love that.
partnered. And we flipped about 500 properties together. Then I went on and I started my own hedge fund because being the bank is the most secure position to be. And so I was like, how do you do that? You start a hedge fund. So I did. So I
Yeah,
started a hedge
I'm just
fund.
gonna do it.
And then I went on and I did residential development, commercial development, and created all of this. And then in 2018, my husband died unexpectedly and very tragically. So I was left a widow and now a single mom with twin teenagers. And it sucked. But I created 13 streams of passive income for my family at that point. And it allowed me to take a year off and grieve and breathe and figure out what I was going to do next. So I figured out a couple of things is that I didn't like what I was doing. And so I shut it all down. And that's when I formed Titan Impact Group. And Titan Impact Group, we are the sentinels of the American dream, and we leave every person, property, and community better than we found them. That is the only projects I will touch. If it doesn't check that, I'm not interested. I've walked away from numerous projects because they just don't check those boxes. Life is too short. The second
Absolutely.
thing that I was really clear about out of doing all those different types of investments is my personality, who I am, because I gave myself permission to try all these things, right? And I did it with a whole lot of who's. I partnered with a whole lot of different people to like learn about all this and discovered I like to be the bank and I like to rent dirt. That's it. That's my jam. Don't like tenants and toilets. Don't like any of that. I just dirt and bank. So I was like, how do I do that? Right. And so inside of that's I was like, okay, so now as a woman, I need security and stability for me and my family. So I was like, okay, so inside of that and real estate and economies and the government and all the things. So we invest in mobile home parks. And here's why. Because when I understood and I had to shift my mindset from, owning 100% of one property, one house, one door, when that tenant moved out, I felt 100% of that pain. Now, when I became part owner in hundreds of doors in the mobile home park, when a couple of those people moved out, I didn't even feel it. It's not even a blip.
Right.
So that brought stability to my portfolio, my peace of mind, and it allowed me to scale because now, and we will always need affordable housing. It doesn't matter if we're in a good economy, a bad economy, it doesn't matter. So that brought me peace of mind of like, no matter what's happening in the economy, we will always need affordable housing. So that's that piece. The second piece is we do triple net lease commercial medical office space. And so for the second reason, we will always need medical care.
Always.
Right? Always. So those are the two things, no matter what's happening, we're always going to need those. So I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And so what we do with that, and we've been doing this for, you know, the last decade, is that we work with medical practitioners to help them. So again, this is another piece of leaving every person, property, and community better than we found them. So these medical practitioners, we need them to stay focused on being whatever practice that they're in, right? We don't need them to be distracted with real estate. So we come in and we become that division for them. We go out, we find the building, we buy it, we pay for the renovations, we pay for all the medical equipment, get it all in there, and then we wrap it into a 15 to 20 year lease. What that does for them and the community is, rather than the doctor having to come up with the capital on their own and can only expand one every 3 to 5 years, now they can open up 6 to 10 locations simultaneously, generating 6 to 10 multiple streams of income that the revenue from each one of those is paying for that lease, right? So now they're scaling, the community has helped, they're helped, like everybody. And so that is how we be the bank, right?
It's great to be the bank.
It is.
Yeah. That's what Titan Impact Group is all about, is
and that's
that security and providing that stability and making that bigger impact. And I think that's incredible.
Well, and we do that for families, right? So I set it up so that you literally can log into our platform, and it's like Monopoly cards. You can literally go and click on it and you can see, and people can invest in these, creating multiple streams of passive income. So I am the who for people that want to know how to invest and create passive streams of income for their family, that don't have the time, the energy to go and learn it all, to find the deals, to fund the deals, to manage the deals. I mean, it's, let me tell you, it's a whole beast in itself.
Yeah. So
people just get to plug in and have these passive streams of income for them and their families. Because here's the thing that people need to understand, especially business owners, you know, if you've read Profit First or, you know, any of those, it's like, when you understand, yes, you can pour your profit back into your business, but the reality is that life is going to happen. So when we get to the point, you understand your earned income is meant to buy assets that provide passive income. Your passive income now pays for your lifestyle. So think about that as you're growing your business. What are you pouring your money, your profit back into your business? Or hold on, are you being strategic about creating other streams of passive income with that profit, so that now you're bringing even more stability to your empire that you're building for you and your family, right? And creating legacy and generational wealth, right? So something to think about. So
absolutely.
The answer, that was a very long answer to it.
I do. And I want to just pay respect to the fact that all this, I have learned so much working with you in the past just couple of months, and I'm looking forward to learning more. But I think there's something, you know, I had the opportunity to see you speak at Raise Fest, which was a couple of weeks ago. And you were one of the only women on stage. And I think that's something really important to think about. And I hope you talk about your experience in Florida last week. But there's not a lot of women in this space. And again, this is another area where we resonate, because I am all about introducing women's brands into the marketplace and to make a bigger social impact, to help more women, to help more men, to help everybody, to help the economy. And I think it's such an important, your story and what you do is so, so incredibly important. And what are the percentage of investors that are women? What was that percentage?
Yeah. So at the conference, was it week 2 weeks ago I was just
Yeah,
at?
in
So,
Florida.
okay, this is twofold. This is insane. Okay, let oh, there's the balloons. So less than 1.5% of any commercial real estate investing that is done by women because they can't get the funding. So on the flip side of it, less than 2% of women-founded companies ever get funded by VCs or any other investors. This is a problem because statistically, women-founded companies and women managed real estate does far better than our counterparts. Statistically.
Such an incredibly low percentage.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because people
With
don't
the VC
understand.
funding and the investing and the commercial real estate, that's just insane to me.
Yeah, because
So
it's a very
how?
male-dominated industry, right? Which is
Absolutely.
great. And I love all the men, and that's amazing. But there's an aspect that I want people to wake up and realize that as women, moms, let's just go to moms for a second, right? There's a direct correlation. What it takes for a mom, and not, and I'm not discounting dads. I'm talking about moms for right now. So we literally spend well over 2 decades pouring everything we've got into these little human beings that go into the world to be these well-rounded adults that become productive contributing members to society. Everything that it took for us to find all the right who's to bring into our kids' lives to create these well-rounded human beings is the exact same skill set that it takes for you to be a brilliant investor and a brilliant business owner. Same skill set. We call it SRA. Same rules apply. So think about it, men, women, like listen. If you're not investing in women who are investing and in their companies, you might want to rethink that. Because a woman that has gone in and she has created some well-rounded human beings that have gone into the world to become productive contributing members to society, she's got something. She's got the skill set it takes. She's got perseverance, grit, determination. Like she has got what it takes. She may need a couple other skills and a couple other people to come alongside, but she's got like all of the skills necessary to become really great at that. So I want everybody to start rethinking who and when and what they're investing in. And they've done studies that companies that have women on boards of directors do far better with profit and revenue than boards of directors who have no women. Again, these are statistics. This isn't opinions. These are straight up statistics.
Yeah, such an important thing to recognize. I
Yep.
love it. Well, and I think that gets us into the next piece that I want to talk about with you too. Talk about the who and surrounding yourself. You said something earlier about, you didn't go to your family when you wanted to build business. You went to the people that that were performing the way you wanted to perform in the
Yes.
business world, to the
Yeah.
experts.
Yes.
And I love this idea and this idea that's yours that we're making come to fruition. It's going to be so amazing with the Queens of the Round Table. And I think there's so many things that resonate with myself about that, just that being a CEO is lonely and being a head of a business is lonely, can be if you choose to be. But I think we get in that vacuum and in that space, and we're so focused on that that it's sometimes we need a community to lift us up. So, can you talk about the Queens of the Roundtable and that whole idea behind that?
So, I told my story publicly for the first time in January of 2023 from stage. And I was,
It's not that long ago.
I know,
It's so crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
I was scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
And it was to a room of 500 fund managers. There was about, I think there was $4 billion represented in that room that day.
Amazing.
And there was only 45 women. So when I
Yeah.
shared my story, I was extremely raw and vulnerable, and I literally had everybody in there crying, all the men. And I got a standing ovation. And then for the next 5.5 hours, I had a line of people telling me, like, one by one, how that had impacted their life. A 45-minute talk of me sharing my story, how it changed their life. That blew my mind. I went on to speak on 18 other platforms that same year. Every single time I came down, here's what happened. I inevitably always had several very successful, very powerful women come up to me and literally start crying and share with me how completely alone they feel on this journey in this very male-dominated industry, whatever the industry, they're all out there. And to me, a light bulb went off. First of all, ladies, we collaborate. We create friendships. We create families. We create communities. We don't compete. That is not how we are wired. The competing is for the men. Let the men compete. They crush it. And it's awesome that they compete. We want them to compete. Us, we collaborate and we create and we make a difference from that aspect. So that's where the Queens of the Roundtable and, like, these women, no, it's not okay for us to feel alone. And so that's why I created Queens of the Roundtable. And there's no head, there's no beginning. All of us are together. And what we are here for is to collaborate and to be known and to be loved and to be uplifted. Because here's the reality. Talking to these women, I didn't relate to the soccer moms. I have so much more going on. I don't relate to the PTA moms. There's, like, I'm out to, like, talk about making an impact. No, I've got a nonprofit that focuses on getting 350,000 children in the U.S. foster care system adopted. Like, right. That's the impact, right? Like, is awesome that they were making a difference in the classroom. There's just, I'm playing at another level. And so yeah. I just didn't relate. Like, all these things from being a mom and a wife and a business owner and an entrepreneur and an investor and an employer, like a leader, all these things, I just didn't relate to, like, the average housewife, right? And so for me, there was, like, all these women who, again, same thing, really ambitious, really extraordinary, doing amazing things, nowhere to be related to or gotten. And so that's who we are at the Queens of the Roundtable. Like, you never have to feel alone again. This is your sisterhood. We are here. So I never want to hear another woman, CEO, investor, business owner say, I feel so alone. Like, oh my gosh, no, no.
Come here be
with us. Come be vulnerable. Fall apart if you need to. Be put back together. Put your crown on straight. And now you get to go do it again with your circle of queens as sisters. We're Absolutely. Doing it together, right? And then bigger than that, the impact that we're making, we're literally doing projects with the United Nations.
Yeah, it's a big deal. There's a lot of amazing things happen. Yes, it is a place for healing, but it's also a place for growth. And yes. It's also a place for developing confidence. And we're yep. all going to be together. We all have different skill sets, just like you were talking about before. We're all different who's. We have different geniuses. Let's lift each other up together and teach each other and yes. empower each other.
Yes.
And projects are amazing. The United Nations project and, you know, the publishing and marketing piece of me is like, there's so much content that's going to come out of this and so many right? other ways we can inspire and so many amazing things. It's going to be really incredible.
Yeah.
So
I'm super excited.
Yeah. We're getting the group together now and we're getting ready to launch it. We have our first meet and greet on the calendar on Sunday. And yes. then we are really going to start the masterminds in April. And we're really looking forward to just transforming the environment for women in business. And again, it's not it is exclusive to women for a reason, but it's not that we don't respect everything out there, but it's just that it's a place where we can be together and collaborate.
Yep. Yep. We need a place for powerful women to come and to be known and gotten and loved. And we're never alone again. There's no need for that.
Right. We yeah. no need for it at all.
Yep.
So come to Mexico with us in June.
Yes. Come to
Check
Mexico
it out.
In June.
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Come do some healing, some growth, level up.
Well, Catherine, I want to talk about one last thing before we wrap up the interview. I want to talk about your passion for human development projects. I want you to just talk about that and the connection, because you are in investing you have a hedge fund, like you have a lot of money to your disposal. And I love the fact that you want to make a bigger social impact with that money. It's a refreshing view on someone that has the capabilities to do that, and they're actually doing something with it. You're not keeping it for yourself and buying another mansion. Maybe you are doing that, but you're also giving things back. And I think that's an incredible inspiration for other entrepreneurs to be thinking about their business. So can you talk about some of these projects? You talked about the foster care project. And
So money is like oxygen. The more you have, the easier it is to breathe. And the more you have, the easier you can breathe, the bigger the difference in the world you can make. And for me, it's like I always knew inherently I was going to make a difference. I just didn't know how. And so leaving every person, property, and community better than we found them is a critical piece. So we're bringing financial literacy to these communities, because we believe that we bring financial literacy and job skills to these families that are living in these mobile home parks. We level them up to the point where now they're financially stable. They have that financial education. They have that skill set. They can go buy their own home, which means they're no longer living in the park, which means one more family can come in. And one family at a time, we can absolutely do this. So it's a way, again, how we leave every person, property, and community better than we found them. And then, of course, the foster care. There's over 500,000 children in the U.S. foster care system. 350,000 are available for adoption. And there's more than 350,000 congregations in this country. If each church takes on finding one family to adopt one child, we can get this done in our lifetime. There's 2.1 million families right now registered to adopt. They just don't know about this type of adoption.
Yeah.
So what is like, what do you do? You can go to my website and you can donate right there. And that money goes towards helping get these churches and these particular type of adoption agencies the marketing necessary so that they get known and we can get them out there. If you want to adopt, go and search online and you're looking for adoption agencies that do fast adopt. There's very specialized adoption agencies. And what they do is they become the Chinese wall between the family and the child bonding and becoming a family and the government system through foster care. Just don't deal with that. Don't give yourself that brain damage. Let them do that for you. So, like, and it doesn't have to be like people have, like, it's a white picket fence family, like, no. If you have the ability to financially take care of and, raise a child, and it could be an older child. I was 16. I was so grateful when I got adopted. I didn't give my family all the grief that their other kids did, right? Because I was so grateful. To this day, I'm still the favorite kid. So it's just get rid of like all the like, well, it's got to be this way. It's no, it doesn't. Here's what it needs. Like, can you financially take care of them? Do you have the love, the time, the heart to take care of them? Go for it.
Right.
No, figure it out. If you're older, again, you don't have to have a baby. There's lots of kids like me that just needed that stable home. And, I love my parents more than you could begin to imagine. So it's make figuring out, and here's what I say is like, listen, if you don't know what the impact is that you're here to make, I promise you're here to make an impact. And here's how you figure out what it is. There is something in the back of your mind that keeps rolling around, and you keep asking yourself quietly, why isn't somebody doing something about that?
Yep.
That is you. You're the one to impact the that. Nobody else is coming along. The reason it was given to you is because you're the one to make that impact. So I'm not saying go start a nonprofit. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, I mean, if you can, you want to, and you have the time, that's fine. But more importantly, go find a nonprofit that literally is focused on that and is making that difference and support them with your money, your time, your resources, your connections. Find whatever that thing is. Find the who's already doing it, and help them with the how. But figure it out, because there's something very powerful. Like, yes, we become millionaires, billionaires, all that. Does money make you happy? No, we already know that. What makes you happy? Being a contribution. Figure out what that contribution is that you're here on this planet to make, and go after it. Make it a priority. There's something so magical when we actually go do that, right? That's what makes life
Absolutely.
so worth every ounce of juiciness, right?
It's amazing.
My little band.
So blessed that our paths crossed.
Well, yes. And more importantly, all the fun we get to have together.
I know, because we
it's
have similar
beginning.
Value. It's just, it's magnetic, draws
It
us
really
together, and
yeah.
it's only going to get bigger. It's going to be amazing.
All the goodness. Oh my goodness. It's so good. Yes. And it's just scratching the surface. I can't wait to talk about all the other goodness when I can talk about it. Think about
Right.
that. Let's come back and do another podcast.
I know we're going to have to. And then I think I was like, should we have the question of where do you see yourself in a year? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or is that question something we need to wait for the next podcast?
We need to wait to the next one, but let me say, stay tuned because
stay tuned.
Holy man, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. And I am thrilled to be on the ride with you. It's going to be awesome.
I'm so excited. Oh, goodness.
Catherine, thank you for coming to the podcast today and all of the inspirational messages for these budding entrepreneurs out there or people that are feeling kind of stuck about where they can reach to get past
Resist.
Their fear, go further, reach out to somebody.
Yes.
Women, if you feel alone on this journey, reach out. We have
reach
a
out to
group for you.
us. We're
reach out
here.
to us.
Yes.
And
we're inviting you.
Anyone who wants to be a part of that journey, but we have a network and places for everything. So,
and for you men, I invite you to lean in and invest in women's companies, invest in women who are in real estate. I promise you, you are going to be shocked, amazed, and surprised at what women are capable of. And the commas are adding to bank accounts.
Love adding some commas to bank accounts.
Absolutely.
It's going to be big.
Well, thank you. You're amazing. I'm so, you, and I have to just say, okay, this is my little testimony for you is like marketing is brain damage for me, not my genius. And the fact that I can come and I can just like all these things and be like, I can't do this. And you're like, okay. And I swear to God, within 2 seconds, you've got it all picked up and all sorted out. And you're going to like, okay, we're going to da 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 da. I'm just like, that's amazing. So if any of you out there feel like marketing is brain damage, call Shelby.
That's a great testimonial, the hands and all that. Yes, that's what I do is I take a whole lot of information and I put it in a message that resonates with an audience that you want to speak to. So
yeah, but fast, like you're really fast at it. Like in the same conversation fast. I'm like,
yeah,
fantastic. So thank
I,
you.
That's my communication and debate background. That's a whole different podcast. So,
right?
Yeah, that's
love
part
it.
Of the part of the genius, part of
yeah.
the worldview, part of the
well,
way
it
we
is
think.
Your genius for sure, and the world needs to know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And to all of our listeners out there, I can't believe how many awesome entrepreneur lessons we had today, investing lessons we had today, and just hearing your story again, Catherine, gives me chills, and I'm excited for the world to know more about it. So.
Love it.
Thank you. And I look forward to the Queen's Venture, which
yes.
is happening next month. So all you queens out there, let us know. I'll put a link to everything so you can have that in the podcast and you know what's going on.
I love it. Thanks, honey.
We'll see you next time.
Okay. Bye, love.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Culture, Communication, and Brand Moments with your host, Shelby Jo Long. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we will see you on the next episode.